What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
I feel like we have been gone so long that I'm not exactly sure I know how to do this anymore.
I couldn't believe I knew where to drive to this morning.
I didn't know what floor to get off on the elevator.
Look, I am not complaining at all, but some vacations just feel longer than others, and there are others that just feel so short that when you get back to work, you're like, what did I even do? This one felt like it was a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
For you guys too?
This one actually for me was actually pretty quick. And yeah. I don't know if maybe that's because y'all went to really cool exotic places. And when you, I feel like when you travel abroad, it almost feels like you're transported into a completely different world. My different world was Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to be back.
Kristen, yeah. Talk about your exotic place you went to.
Yeah, I went to Wilmore, Kentucky.
Ooh, yeah.
I'll tell you what makes a vacation feel long when you have a young child that's not in school for 2 weeks.
Yeah, no doubt.
Makes it feel very long.
No doubt, especially on the road.
Yes.
Yeah. How was Thailand, dude?
Man, it was everything I needed. It was incredible. It really was. It's funny how a lot of the places I end up going that are not necessarily on my bucket list end up being like my favorite places. There was points on this trip where I didn't know what day it was. I didn't know what time it was. I was like, I didn't know where I was. It was incredible. It was everything I've heard it to be.
That's a good vacation when you have to ask the people around you, like, what day is it again?
Yeah, that happened like 3 times. It felt so weird going from like airport to airport, country to country, and literally having to ask somebody like, okay, what time is it? 5:30. Yeah, but what day? Like, what? You really don't know.
It's so far from here that I think most people feel like it's out of reach for them, and you put it on your bucket list, but it almost seems like a different planet. What is it even like?
Thailand is, first of all, it's the most people I've ever seen at one time in my life. And that's coming from a New Yorker. I've never seen anything like that. The culture is obviously very different. There's no such thing as like a dry time. That just doesn't exist in Thailand. I've never seen, literally, when you go to these places, like you hear all of the, go here, go here, go there, and you go, it could be 4 or 5 in the morning and there's no signs of slowing down.
So you're talking about drinking, not like wet, rainy season.
No, I didn't rain once. It didn't rain one time. Uh-huh. The weather was incredible the entire time. We went to about 4 or 5 different islands. Each island was amazing. It was like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Phuket is like party town. I mean, it's literally nonstop. It is nonstop. We were there for New Year's and I've never seen that many people. It was like shoes and clothes everywhere on the ground. Like, people just was like, I lost a shoe, don't care. Like, if you didn't lose a shoe, you wasn't partying.
So you've been to Ibiza and you've been to Thailand. Who's the bigger partier?
You know what? Thailand.
Really?
Like,
wow.
It really shocked me. Like, Ibiza was go, 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 but it was normal go. Like, around 4 or 5 in the morning, you saw the signs of it slowing down. It's like it's time to go. I didn't see Thailand slow down. Like, I didn't make it far enough in the night to see when they stop.
I've been to places on New Year's Eve. Specifically, there's this one island in the Caribbean called Jos Van Dyke, and it's the same type deal, but it's only for one night, where they have bands and DJs and people all bring their boats, and they're hooking up to each other, and then they go onto the beach, and the last band starts playing at 5:30 in the morning. And there's nobody dancing anymore because most people are dead on the beach.
Exactly like that.
At least it looks like.
It's like they got the floating parties that you can do from the actual boat. They got the parties you can do from the beach. Whatever party you choose in Thailand, you will not see the end of it. I promise you. You won't. It just keeps going. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, they all look the same.
Incredible.
Every night looks
incredible.
The same.
KK, how was your trip, even though it was in Kentucky?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a given when it comes to Christmas, because we go to family. Family can't come to us. So, no, we had, it was a really nice Christmas. Like, it was super chill, but it was really nice. The highlight was Jimmy's fish tank that mom and dad gave him for Christmas, and his reaction was precious. Low light was we were sick pretty much the entire time.
Oh, no, man. I was online for just a brief second, and I saw that, like, Atlanta emergency rooms were telling people go to urgent care because there were so many people sick.
Yeah, it was like it was kind of like a joke. Like, it was Mary Sickmas, and like, we didn't have anything that was like hospital inducing, but for, like, you know, we've had a COVID Christmas before a couple years ago, and this year I mean, poor Jimmy. I remember going to his Christmas program the Friday before the holiday, and he was just kind of looking a little puny up there while he was singing, and he was yawning quite a bit. And then, sure enough, he was sick over Christmas.
Oh, no, man.
But, I mean, we still made the most of it. And then we go to Kentucky, and then, of course, I get sick while we're in Kentucky, and it was just par for the course.
Yeah.
But so that was the low light. But, again, the highlight was being able to hang with family and, you know, Bart's 50th birthday and threw him a big party with 25 of his friends and family. And so we definitely made the most of our time.
Highlight and low light from Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, Florida. The highlight is definitely getting to sleep in and binge TV. I'm not somebody that ever takes the time to turn on the TV and like actually sit and watch a show. I'll read a book. I'll listen to an audiobook. I'll listen to podcasts all day long. But for some reason, it's really hard for me to get into TV shows. And I remember in college, I used to be obsessed with this show called Outlander on Stars. And for some, I was so bored that one day I was on Netflix. I'm like, let me just like rewatch Outlander again. I am so deep in the lore of Outlander again. I have been watching it nonstop ever since we got off work. I've just been watching nonstop Outlander. And then low light for me was an experience I had with a gentleman in Jacksonville that I will explain at some point on the show.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And for me, it's hard to complain, but the low point was actually Christmas Day. Hollis and I were on an island and it just didn't feel like Christmas. And I learned a lot of lessons about it that day. We were both feeling homesick on Christmas, but I'll get into it later. And the highlight probably was, you know, I grew up in California in kind of surf culture, more of the culture than an actual surfer. We're called ho dads. But I have been looking at this giant wave my entire life, and it's in Portugal in a town and a beach called Nazaré. And we were only 30 minutes away from it. So I'm like, you know what? We got to go check out these big ass waves, right? So Hollis, Amanda, and I went to Nazaré to check out the waves, and it was just like this perfect day. It wasn't like an 80-foot wave like they've had there before, but it was just so beautiful watching the surfers, and the climate was right. And I was with Amanda and Hollis, and I just had one of those really content moments that are really, really elusive for me. So that was probably the high point for me. But overall, it was an absolutely fantastic vacation.
I felt like we went to like 28 different countries for some reason.
I was going a lot. Yeah, we went to an island off of Portugal. It's called Madeira. It's where Cristiano Ronaldo was born. So you fly into Cristiano Ronaldo International Airport.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Crazy, man. Wow. Right? So we were at that island. Then we went to Lisbon for a couple of days. And then he came home. And then Amanda and I went to Madrid. So yeah, we've been all over the place, man. But I'm ready to get back into it.
Let's do it.
So let's do it.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
You're going to be hearing a lot about Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni for the next couple of days from us. So let's start with some things that have nothing to do with them, because I want to talk about Beyonce. Katie, I know you're going to want to get in on this, because the Beyonce Bowl broke NFL streaming records. That's how excited people were to see Queen Bee on Christmas Day performing at the Ravens versus Houston Texans game. So the top billing game for the NFL was previously like 23 million people last year. It was the AFC Championship game. It was a Kansas City Chiefs game because, you know, people wanted to see Taylor Swift for 3 seconds in the box. But for Beyonce's performance, she actually topped out at 27 million viewers. It was a 13-minute halftime performance. It was basically a Super Bowl performance, which is why they dubbed it the Beyonce Bowl. And she absolutely crushed it. And there might have been some things that you missed in the actual performance. Obviously, it was amazing. She opened it up with 16 carriages. It was a pre-recorded 2-minute little bit, but then you see her out on the field, and there she is in all of her glory.
Comes in on a horse! In a stadium!
But there's this really cool moment where, you know, during the performance, she had actually brought out like Post Malone and Shaboozy. So people were wondering, oh, is Dolly Parton going to come out? Is Miley Cyrus going to come out? But she did have a nod to her song Most Wanted with Miley Cyrus, because she wasn't out there on the field with her. When you see her performing 16 carriages on horseback, you can see a skeleton in the shotgun seat of one of the cars that's in there. And that's a nod to the lyric where they say, I'll be your shotgun rider till the day I die. So even though Miley Cyrus wasn't out there. We did get a little nod to her. We also got to see a little bit of the Buckin Challenge, which was a big thing on TikTok from a user named Aja Janae, which I might be pronouncing wrong, so I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong. I couldn't find how to pronounce it. But she did a little bit of that choreography in the performance on the field, looked amazing. She also had an interlude between Blackbird and Yaya, where you can hear the drums to one of her songs called Freedom, which was on her 2016 album Lemonade. So many little Easter eggs that she just sprinkled out through there. And the performance was insane. I mean, if you didn't watch it, you need to go back. It's on Netflix.
Oh, dude, and Blue Ivy crushed it too.
Oh, so it was so cute.
Like, I mean, to have that mother-daughter moment out there on a stage that huge, and her, like, Blue Ivy's like what, 12 or 13?
Yeah, I think she's 12.
I think she's 12.
I mean, it was so good.
I hated that people wouldn't leave Blue Ivy alone, like to be in that spotlight, because she made the little small mistake when she turned the wrong way, and it seemed like that's what they wanted to make a big deal out of it. I'm like, are y'all serious? I know how old she is, man.
Yeah, and she looked flawless. Also, if the music thing doesn't work out, she's going to be a model.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
100%. It's crazy that people are like bullying a middle schooler. Like, mm-hmm. This is a moment for her to get to shine with her mom. And how cool, like, because I know when I see Beyonce, I'm like, she just feels so otherworldly. But like, to her, that's just her mom. And to be out there and like, just to get mm-hmm. to have that really sweet moment was so cool to see. And I just can't wait to see her progression, because sure, like, people are going to make fun of her for the little mistakes now. But like, think about how talented and how much she's going to crush these performances in like a couple of years.
It makes me wonder who follows this now, because of how well she did. Somebody has to be second.
There might be somebody to go, you know what, I don't want to do it.
I think I'm all set.
Yeah, bring Maroon 5 out and then we'll do it after them.
100%. Also, last night were the Golden Globes, and people were really taking a look at Nikki Glaser, who was the host, because you remember last year there was all that controversy with comedian Joe Coy, and he made a couple of those jokes about Barbie and Taylor Swift, and it just kind of had like this sexist air to the monologue. Well, Nikki Glaser proved that picking a woman to host the Golden Globes was the right move, especially this year.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, and now that makes a lot of sense, because I forgot it was Joe Coy that did it last year, and it fell flat, to say the least. She's the first woman ever to host the Golden Globe. So,
that right?
Yeah.
And she crushed it.
She did so good. I mean, the monologue is 10 minutes long. It felt like 3 minutes. There was this one really funny joke where she looks at Timothy Chalamet and Kylie Jenner, and she starts making fun of his mustache and then starts making fun of his name, which I love, because every time I talk about Timothy Chalamet, I've got to give him a different last name. And she ends up bringing Adam Sandler into the joke with her.
Your name sounds like something Adam Sandler would say. No, Chalamet. Timothy and Chalamet. Oh, yes, Timothy Chalamet. I think Sandler's here. Sandler, can I get a Chalamet?
Hey, Chalamet.
Oh, Chalamet. A good Chalamet to you, sir.
So, of course, there were some really funny moments, too. But Demi Moore really crushed it with her speech as well. She talked about how this is her first time winning an award ever. I mean, she's been doing this for 45 years. And in her speech, she spoke about how she really thought about giving up. She mentioned a time where a producer 30 years ago called her a popcorn actress, and how she would never really be able to attain something like a Golden Globe Award. But she, at the end of her speech, gave this quote from somebody else in her professional life where she said, you know, you're never going to be enough, but that shouldn't change how you approach your career.
In those moments when we don't think we're smart enough or pretty enough or skinny enough or successful enough or basically just not enough, I had a woman say to me, just know you will never be enough, but you can know the value of your worth if you just put down the measuring stick. And so today I celebrate this as a marker of my wholeness and of the love that is driving me, and for the gift of doing something I love and being reminded that I do belong. Thank you so much.
I mean, she brought the crowd to their feet, and I was floored that that's the first award she's ever won in Hollywood.
I know, because you hear Demi Moore and you mm-hmm. think A wow. plus list mm-hmm. actress. How have you not won something? So this is well deserved.
She made a Andrew Garfield curse. So they went back to him and Kerry Washington, because they were the ones that were doing the, they were up there delivering the awards, and they were like, good luck for whoever has to follow that.
All right, Zendaya is causing some rumors to swirl, all because of one thing she was wearing on the red carpet. We are going to talk about a very special item she had on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Call her a quitter if you want, but we should celebrate her quitting.
I am 6 days in and still crushing dry January. Even though today is the first day I left my house. Anyways.
Are you feeling okay? You still have like feeling in your left eye?
I do. Believe it or not, I actually, it's crazy. When when you don't drink, you're actually more clear-headed and you feel better.
Weird.
I know. So weird.
Was there one moment in December where you're like, okay, I'm doing this in January, or was this premeditated in like November?
No, it wasn't premeditated in November. However, in December, I was like self-medicating with alcohol. I could totally tell just to get through the holiday season. I was feeling stress. I was feeling grief. I was feeling anxiety. And you know what makes it worse? Alcohol. So that's what I did. And I was joking with a neighbor because we were doing the 12 days of drinking for Christmas. So we were literally drinking every single day, like leading up to Christmas. We're like, screw it. Because it was one of those things like, I'm not going to drink during the week. And then it was like, oh, it's Monday. Let's have a drink because we have to write. There was always a reason, an excuse. And I was just imbibing, and I was imbibing hard. And it wasn't like that, like pouring a drink to have fun. Mm-hmm. It was pouring a drink to cope.
Right.
Is what I was doing.
Right.
And when I realized I was pouring that glass of wine to cope, I was like, something's got to change. So that happened in December. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do dry January. And we're going to go like full bore. I'm like, we're not going to drink. And I think because I knew that, I went in extra hard on New Year's Eve. So my neighbor, we just did like a private dinner with a chef, with some other neighbors. So we didn't do like a huge party, but it was really nice. It was right next door. So all we had to do was walk home. Don't really remember the walk home. Okay. And I went extra hard, and I had such a hellacious hangover all day New Year's Day, which further solidified my decision to do dry January.
Because kids don't care.
No.
They don't care if you're hungover, if mommy's sick.
Oh.
They don't care.
Bart was a single dad all day on New Year's Day. Like, he stepped up huge, and I literally laid in bed all day just binge-watching Squid Game, like Squid Game 2. Like, that's what I did on New Year's Day.
That's what I did when I was hungover, too. Same thing. Same thing.
And so,
because you're watching that going, okay, a headache's not that bad compared to what's going on my screen right,
right?
now.
Absolutely.
So, and then after that, like, that's your, you don't bounce back. Once you hit your 40s, you don't really bounce back from a hangover in a day. It actually takes a couple of days before you can shake it.
That sucks, man. It really does.
And so as I'm watching this and stuff just slowly get done around the house and trying to get Christmas decorations down, I'm like, yeah, no, this was the right call. And then last Friday, the U.S. Surgeon General comes out and says cancer risk increases with the number of drinks. Now, you got to take that with a grain of salt, and you have to read the research on it because, you know, everybody, it's so funny how somebody telling you if you drink, you're going to get cancer, and everybody starts trying to find loopholes and just like, is that actually true? Like, does that mean I can't have a glass of nice wine with my dinner now?
So, or can I go back to smoking cigarettes?
Yeah.
What if I take shots?
But I mean, the Surgeon General came out and I mean, basically said they want warning labels put on alcohol, letting people know that you are increasing your chances of cancer if you drink.
That really struck home for me because I decided when you brought it up that I would also do dry January, and I'm still on it because I was also self-medicating with alcohol. And then when I saw that pop up, and I'm envisioning like on cigarette boxes, like that big black and white label that's like warning, and that's what he wants on alcohol bottles. And I'm like, oh, this is real, real. This is actually very serious.
And so, you know, of course I'm reading that and I'm like, well, the Surgeon General says I should stick to this. I should probably stick to this. So, but again, what I have caught myself doing is making sure that I'm not in any kind of social setting where alcohol is going to be a temptation.
Like your house?
No. That was the problem.
Yep.
And there are like 3 bottles of wine there that have not been cracked open since January 1st. But like a neighbor invited me over to have a drink. And I think it was on Friday. And I was like, I'm not feeling good.
Yeah.
And I mean, truthfully, I wasn't feeling good. And I have been a little under the weather. But I knew deep down the reason why I wasn't going is because I didn't want to put that temptation in front of me. Which I also think speaks volumes of where I am am with my relationship with alcohol that I can't go over to a neighbor's house and just sit there and have a conversation without feeling the temptation of having a drink. Probably need to reevaluate my relationship with alcohol a little bit. So I'm really determined to get through January dry. And if I go through January dry, no joke, I'm going to try to do February as well.
I feel like you and I have sort of been, mine was a little bit more drastic than yours, but on the same path of like weaning off of alcohol. And as many times as I tried and I failed, really you're on this very same trip in that you just realize at the end of the day that it hurts too much. Yeah. Like it interrupts your sleep. Mm-hmm. Your kids don't care when you wake up in the morning and you're hungover. And at some point or another, you don't even really make the conscious decision. Alcohol just doesn't seem as fun as it used to be, and you just don't dig the buzz as much. You're on your way.
Yeah. And hey, even the youngins are getting in on it, aren't you, Jackson?
Yeah. I feel like I was swindled into this, honestly. when you had brought this up, you know, in December, I was like, no way, no chance. Like, I was scoffing at it.
I know. I went around the room and asked everybody who wants to join me. And literally, I felt like I was the guy going straight, like Will Ferrell going streaking in Old School. And finally, Cassie's like, I'll do it with you from the back.
Yeah, and then I don't know. I was like in the middle of a conversation with with my girlfriend and someone else, and then it just kind of came up like, oh, we should try maybe do dry January, and then all of a sudden like that was the plan, and that's what we were doing. And I've got to admit, when you're talking about all this stuff, it's like looking into a mirror. It's like I've absolutely had to kind of reevaluate how I view alcohol. My drinking a lot of times is out of boredom and not coping. It's just like, well, there's nothing. You know, why not just pour a glass of something and you know when the day is over. And so, you know, it's kind of been a tough pill to swallow, but I will say I've been trying to make a plea for a moist January.
It's humid.
I'm sticking with moist. It's a moist January where I get one day a week, which is would be a major improvement. I don't think I need to operate in as much of an extreme, you know, just for my own sanity.
I think that's smart because a lot of people will say that once you make it like you're not allowed to have it at all of a sudden, and the craving for it is way more. So if you give yourself some grace and say, oh, I'll have one or two, it doesn't seem as bad.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. And so I'm trying to just reevaluate my entire way that I'm thinking about drinking. And what better way to start than, you know, the start of the new year and January?
Yeah, I think your guys' generation has been way ahead of this here. You're seeing, you know, bar owners and club owners have been complaining about this now for years, that people in their 20s just aren't drinking as much as they used to because they're realizing how bad it is for your health, and it's also expensive, and the economy kind of sucks.
Well, I think it's just because we have so much access to information. Like, I'm sure there weren't articles going around 30, 20 years ago saying, like, this is going to cause cancer. And so I think because we have so much knowledge as to how this really does affect you, it does affect your sleep, and can affect your health moving forward, that every time you pick up a glass of wine, there's that little voice in your head that says, maybe you shouldn't do this, and then I ignore it, because then I'll drink it.
In the 90s, they were publishing articles like, heart health, have a glass of wine, red wine, every single day. Right. It'll be good for your health.
Right. Remember, back in the day, they were telling us cigarettes were good for us also, right?
Yeah.
All right, it's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I've been watching this big fight that's been going down in Hollywood now for, over a month. And I'm like, one day, oh.
Yeah, I know, right?
Man, he's the worst. And then the next day I'll read something. I'm like, oh, she's the worst. And the next day it's like, I don't know who to believe in this whole thing.
I've had to do so much reading over my break. I was supposed to be on vacation. Whereas I was reading 167 pages of these lawsuits between two people from the It Ends With Us movie. So in the left corner, we have A-list actress and fashion icon, Blake Lively. And on the other side, we have that one guy who was in a CW show a while back. Justin Baldoni versus Blake Lively.
I was so into this whole thing that I actually watched the movie to see the chemistry problems on a flight. And I didn't see anything.
Well, I mean, if you watch the movie, it just looks like a typical film. You don't see really any issues. And the reason why we're talking about this period is we knew this. There was some tension happening when the film came out earlier this year. It came out, I believe, in August. It was a really exciting film for the Book Talk girlies. It Ends With Us is one of the biggest books to come out in the last, 5 years or so. It's by an author named Colleen Hoover, who has a very long reputation with girls who love to read romance novels. But this specific book is actually about domestic violence. And so Blake Lively got a ton of backlash earlier this year because while we were seeing Justin Baldoni, who had the rights to the movie, who directed it, who owns the company that produced it, we saw him talking a lot about domestic violence. And then you'd flip over to see Blake Lively, and there were a ton of tone deaf interviews that made her look terrible. And so she got this horrible reputation of not taking domestic violence seriously, of trying to make it like the Barbie movie. And
wasn't she saying stuff like, put on your floral dresses and come check out this movie.
Yeah. With your girlies, make it a girl's night. Yeah.
Basically marketing it like a rom-com.
Weird.
And it's not a rom-com. Well, it's not a rom-com.
Right quick, that was from the production company. So that wasn't Blake's choice to market it that way. She was contractually obligated to market it that way, that had been agreed upon already by the studio, correct?
So I want to get into the lawsuits here because there are two lawsuits that we're going to be referencing as we talk about this entire case with Justin Baldoni versus Blake Lively. So on December 20th, Blake Lively dropped a complaint against Justin Baldoni in the state of California, basically saying, this is all about retaliation. He conducted a PR smear campaign because I filed some sexual harassment complaints against him during filming. So while they were filming, it was during the writer's strike. So this was going down earlier in 2022. So they started filming in like May. The writer and actor's strike happened in like June and July. So they had to pause filming until January of 2023. And that's when they resumed. And so what she is saying is that in order for them to start filming again, she had all of these lists of demands, I guess you could say, where she felt uncomfortable on set from a series of things that Justin Baldoni, the director, and the lead producer, Jamie Heath, did while they were filming before the writer's strike and the actor's strike even happened. So there's probably like 19 or 20 things that she listed out saying, don't show me nude videos of women. Don't talk about your genitalia. Don't talk about experiences where there wasn't consent involved in intimate experiences in your life.
Don't be a pig.
No, be a pig, essentially.
Which was really odd because what we know of Justin Baldoni, or at least what I knew of Justin Baldoni, is this guy has a podcast that's all anti-misogynist, pro-feminist. Like, it was kind of like, it felt like it came out of left field because it's like, is this like a wolf in sheep's clothing? Because this dude is presenting like he is a feminist and supports women and is anti-misogynistic. So these claims felt wild.
And that's why people were so quickly to, I think, not believe it at first. Yeah. But the more that people read it, people were like, wow, if this is all true, this guy's an absolute pig. And maybe he's even a narcissist trying to like block the fact that he's actually a really bad guy by presenting this facade so that women aren't afraid of him and he can like build their trust so that, you know, he can manipulate them in this way. Because like you said, he had the Man Enough podcast that he does with Jamie Heath, who is the lead producer, who is also included in all of these allegations. So this is really shocking, including all of the interviews where we saw Justin Baldoni talking about domestic violence, just making him look like he's this really good guy. So people were shocked when this complaint came out.
Didn't he win an award for it too? Didn't I read that?
Yeah, and then the award was rescinded. When this complaint came out, he was dropped by WME, which is his agency that he's a part of. The agent that conducts all of like his business dealings.
It's the William Morris agency. It's the biggest one in Hollywood.
It's huge. It's massive. I think even Ryan Reynolds is a part of it. So basically, there's this huge complaint that says that this guy is a really bad dude.
And so, then also the smear campaign, too. Like, yes. When you go into the details and, like, I mean, they came with receipts, with emails, with text messages. Like, because of the stuff that went down on set, it was basically like, all right, Justin, they know that all this stuff went down on set. So to preserve his image, they're like, we need to attack first and we need to go after her and like create this whole smear campaign to get everybody against her.
And there are like text messages and emails where they're high-fiving each other because the campaign is working so well and people are turning on Blake Lively.
But did I not read, Abby, you would probably know better than I did, that those texts that Blake Lively's team put out were edited?
Yes. Okay, so that's when I'll get into this, to the other side. So, of course, they included some screenshots from text messages where they were sending screenshots of different Daily Mail articles and different Page Six articles that made Blake Lively look really bad or brought up old interviews that made her look unfavorable. And the text messages that you're specifically referencing, there's one that said something along the lines of like, oh, this is so good. You really outdid yourself with this one. And then the next person responded, that's why you hired me, didn't you? And so it basically made it look like, oh my God, they really did try to make Blake Lively look terrible in the press. So that's what we felt like for about a week. So then on New Year's Eve, we get a lawsuit from Justin Baldoni. And I am putting that word in bold italics and underscore because there's a huge difference between what Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni did. So this is what really made people stop and think once lawyer TikTok started talking about this.
And that's where I got sucked in. I got sucked into lawyer thread. Like as something would pop up on my Instagram and I wasn't going to read these entire like lawsuits, right? These 160 page docs, but these lawyers did. And I'm going like listening to these lawyers and I'm like, who am I supposed to believe?
Right.
So this is like the top thing that Justin Baldoni's lawsuit lists out is that Blake Lively chose not to file a lawsuit against Baldoni, Wayfar, which is the production studio, or any of the other plaintiffs. She filed what's called like a complaint. So this basically keeps her from going under something called the discovery process. So she wouldn't have to answer questions under oath or produce any other text messages or communications between other people. So basically, Justin Baldoni filed a lawsuit, which is like, yes, I have nothing to hide. Ask me anything. I'll do anything under oath. Whereas Blake Lively filed a complaint, which basically said, here, I'm sending this to the office for you guys to look at and decide whether or not you want to take this case. But you don't have to ask me any questions about this. So they're basically saying she did this as a PR move because then it was leaked to the New York Times. Leaked. She probably gave it to the New York Times. Basically saying, we just want to get our story out there to make it look really legitimate. We're going to put this in all these legal terms and make it look like we're really going to take action. But what she really did was just put out, you know, something that she doesn't have to answer for. Whereas Justin Baldoni filed a legitimate lawsuit against the New York Times. So he is going up against the New York Times and not Blake Lively, basically saying you made this thing look really legitimate and as fact when you just gave a complaint. Like this isn't, like she might not even take me to court. Like I'm filing a lawsuit against y'all.
Yeah, this is, I'll tell you what's at stake here, because we are now living in cancer culture. One of them is going to be canceled. And that's why they're going back and forth and trying to get like and gain the confidence of the public opinion, because one of them is about to be canceled.
I don't think either one's going to get canceled. I think it has to be some seriously damaging evidence to come out, because right now, the way people are sitting, and also like as a woman, when Blake came out and did this complaint, yeah, of course. You like, that's the whole why the Me Too movement, and you know, believe her. And like if she's coming out and saying this, why would you not believe her? And then Justin comes in with the doctor text messages and things of that nature, and now you're just like I want to believe her and I want to give her the benefit of the doubt, but then you're looking at all this evidence and it's just like it's a mind F
whiplash.
Right now.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
26 years old and never been kissed. I just looked it up. The average for your first kiss is what age, you think?
15.
15 years old.
Oh, I got it.
Nailed it. So Stephanie called us before the break saying that she had never been kissed, right? 26 years old?
Mm-hmm.
And it was about to happen.
Yes. I think she's on the line.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. All right. So go ahead and do a quick recap for us of where you were right before New Year's.
Okay. Well, right before New Year's, I told you I'm 26, never been kissed, which is like really embarrassing to admit. But yeah, that's where I was. Basically, like to make a long story short, it just never really felt right. And it just kind of like took too long. I went to an all girls college. I just didn't really have the opportunity. And when I did, I just got so nervous.
So you had been out on dates before, but when it came down to getting that first kiss, you kind of sketched out and you're like, oh, no, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, like, yeah, I like kind of talked myself out of it most of the time. Like, oh, he's not my type, or I don't know, like, he's nice, but he's not it. You know, I don't know. I just kind of came up with excuses because it got, I don't know, it just took so long. And it just, the longer it took, like, I just got nervous. You can hear I'm nervous now.
Yeah, I can understand how it can get into like this really big thing. It starts out as something small, but then after a second or a third date, then you start to get in your own head about it. It becomes this mountain of insecurity.
Yeah, and boys are icky, so I don't blame you for avoiding them.
Yeah, well, I basically made a decision. I said, you know what? I'm going to kiss someone on New Year's Eve this year. Like, I don't care. Like, whatever it is, I'm kissing somebody. And so that's kind of what my goal was.
Okay, so I wasn't here when you were on the first time. So this wasn't a date you had? You were just going to a party and you were just going to grab some dude and go, get over here.
Somebody getting it.
We were ripping the Band-Aid.
Okay.
We weren't going to build it up into something. Like, we just needed lips to touch lips. Okay. There needed to be no saliva or spit that interchanged, no tongue, no nothing. We just, for her sake, she wanted to go into 2025 and she wanted to get this albatross off of her back. Like, she just wanted to get it done.
I kind of love it because you're going to pick some dude out of a crowd. If the kiss sucks, you're never going to see him ever again. So keep the bar set low.
Yep. Less pressure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bar's on the ground.
All right. All right. So New Year's Eve comes around. Do you go to the party and are you starting to take down a lot of liquid courage and you want to play this thing out or what?
Yeah, I actually almost didn't go out. I was so nervous. And honestly, like, the phone call that we had sort of kept me accountable in a way. But my anxiety was, like, skyrocketing. Like, I even had a moment. I was sitting in my bed, like, fully dressed, debating, like, do I do this or not? But then I remembered, you know what? I promised myself no more excuses, no more hiding. So I went. And, you know, I can't stop smiling because I did it.
Okay.
Right. Go, girl.
How did it go down?
It was good. It was really good. Like, basically, a friend had invited me to a big party that was happening downtown. And honestly, like, when I got there, I was really overwhelmed because, like, the music was so loud and it was so packed, like, to every single corner. And I was just, like, clutching my drink, basically, like, looking at my phone. It was just like, oh, my God, like, please talk to me behavior, sort of. Like, Lord. And then I just thought to myself, you know what? No, you're here. Put yourself out there. Do something, right? So basically, I just, like, started out small, and I was, like, chatting with a couple of people near me. And then, you know, I was like, okay, this isn't so bad. And then I saw him. His name is Ethan. And he was, like, standing by the bar, and he was laughing with, like, a group of friends. And he had this sort of, I don't know, like, this just, like, easy, genuine smile that made him look approachable. So, you know, I felt brave enough to walk over, and I made a joke about, I think I said something about, like, how long the line for drinks was. And, you know, he started laughing and talking with me.
That first line could have gone really wrong if you would have said something like, hey, just a weird question. Do you have herpes?
At least on the mouth.
Because I've never been kissed and I want you to kiss me at midnight. Yeah,
you get some weird lip thing here in a couple of months. You're going to know exactly who it was.
Right. But no, it was good. Like, we ended up spending a lot of the night together. We were, like, talking and laughing, and it was really easy, honestly. And yeah, he didn't make me feel nervous or self-conscious or anything. And then, you know, as midnight is getting closer, I did start to panic a little bit. I'm like, oh, my God, what if he doesn't want to kiss me? What if I misread everything? You know how I get. And then, you know, as the countdown starts, he leaned in and he was like, can I kiss you at midnight? And I nodded. I liked that he asked me, you know, I nodded. I really was barely able to get the word yes out. And, like, the tears were just erupting. And then, yeah, he kissed me. It was perfect. It was, you know, it wasn't like some grand movie moment or anything, but it was simple and sweet and everything that I hoped for.
So he didn't do like the face grab or anything like that, like that intimate kiss that we saw. What was the show that we were watching?
Nobody Wants Us.
Yeah, Nobody Wants Us. It wasn't like passionate like that. It was just a, but at least it's out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like over the top or anything, but it didn't feel like a quick peck either. It was like, you know, a couple seconds lingered there, you know?
Okay.
So he had no idea that was your first kiss.
No.
And he
no,
never no. needs to know.
Yeah. But if he would have said, is that your first kiss?
Yeah. That was really bad.
Worst way to start the year ever. All right, Stephanie, thanks for the update. Appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
All right, and congratulations.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, congratulations.
The Burt Show. Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.